Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Houston, Texas, the humidity capital of the world, it's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bert Martinez. You are tuning in and snacking on Money for Lunch. We appreciate your time here having lunch with us. We know you have many choices as to where to eat, but as you know, all the leaders around the world prefer to have lunch here on Money for Lunch. All right, today on the show, we have Christina Hess Hamas from San Diego. She's a trust and estate attorney. She's also a co-author. And she's going to be talking about creating legacies that last. This is important for people who have loved ones that they would like to protect and just leave a larger legacy to. Does that make sense? Hey, also on the show, we have Greg Link. And if Greg Link sounds familiar to you, it's because he's the founder of Covey Link, the Franklin Covey Speed of Trust Practice. He's also worked with Stephen Covey, as well as Stephen M. R. Covey of the Wall Street Journal. And so he was one of the guys who helped orchestrate the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So he's on the show. We're going to be talking about trust and how to get it. Also, John I've been talking to dead air. I apologize. Anyway, so here on the show today, we have Christina Hess Hamas, a trust attorney, talking about creating legacies that last. Also on the show, Greg Link. If he sounds familiar, it's because he has the number one best-selling author of a book called Smart Trust, Creating Prosperity, Energy, and Joy in a Low-Trust World. Gotta love it. He's worked with people like Stephen Covey, and he also helped orchestrate the whole Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Also, on the show today, John Ledford. He is known as a socially responsible advisor and has won many awards. He's also on the show. I'm excited to talk about money. Christopher Gray is also on the show, and you know, I love this guy. He's got a great gym called Punch Gym Fitness, and it sounds aggressive, doesn't it? So we're going to be talking to Chris about fitness and what's happening in the fitness areas. So today we have an absolutely fantastic show. We're going to be talking about money, protecting your money, making money, getting in shape, and as important, how to build smart trust. So let's get the road on the show, as they say, with my first guest, Christina Hess. And let me tell you a little bit about Christina. She is from San Diego, and she is a trust and estate attorney. And I love what she says here. She is an expert at creating legacies that last. She's also the co-author of More Than Money, How to Leave a Lasting Legacy to Your Family. She's a graduate of Berkeley Law School, an attorney for over 12 years. Christina, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right, so I like this slogan or this tag, creating legacies that last. And let me ask you this. I want to just dive right into it. You know, when should a family or even a single person, when should somebody look at getting an estate attorney?
Well, it's really never too soon. Every person needs five basic documents. Every person over 18 years of age needs at least five basic documents. So a basic, you know, just getting your basic legal house in order. Once you're an adult, a will, perhaps a living trust if you own any real estate or if you have assets over a certain threshold, a power of attorney to make sure you're taken care of if you were ever incapacitated, health care directive to avoid the Terry Schiavo type situation. Now that the HIPAA laws have changed, the medical privacy laws have changed, it's important that people have access to your to speak with your doctors and have access to your medical records. So every adult in this country needs the basic documents in place.
Gotcha. Now, let me ask you this, because you mentioned a will. So when I think of a will, I immediately think, you know, you will go to probate. So I guess if you have a smaller estate, let's say, like you said, you're 18 or 19 or 20, you basically don't have a whole lot to leave behind. A will is probably appropriate. But if you have a substantial estate, what are you advising your clients to do?
Well, it varies by jurisdiction. Obviously, I'm in California. In the state of California, if you own real estate, you know, over $20,000, which if it's, you know, any home in California is going to be worth much more than $20,000. In order to avoid probate, you're right, you really need a living trust. Probate, we say there's three evils of probate. It's incredibly expensive. We estimate it's about 5% of the gross estate. It's very slow, and it's a public process. So everything that gets filed in the probate court is open to the public record. So the only way to avoid the court process and a 1 to 2 year delay is to put your assets, your home, your brokerage accounts, your stock accounts, to put everything into a living trust.
And can you clarify what is a living trust? Because it sounds like something that is really for the living, but I'm assuming, like life insurance, it's probably for your heirs and for your loved ones. So give us a review. What is a living trust?
Well, that's a great question, because people often are confused because most people haven't heard of it, or maybe they've heard someone speak about it. But a living trust is just a revocable trust, which just means that while you're alive, you have 100% control over this document. It's kind of like a corporation. It's just this entity created by law. And so it really doesn't change your life while you're alive, as you suggested. It's for, but the thing that it can do is that we're 6 times more likely to become incapacitated than we are to actually die of a younger age. And so your trust, once your trust holds your assets, it can provide a vehicle to make sure that you're taken care of in the event of your incapacity. In addition to that, then, not only does it avoid probate, but for people, next year we're having a huge change in the estate tax laws. People who will have an estate over $1 million, you can do tax planning and you can double the amount that you can pass to your heirs tax-free. And then it allows you to structure your inheritance in a way that you can set it up to your children such that if you're, or your children or grandchildren, such that they don't just get assets outright at 18. So when people have no plan in place, and if they leave any money at all, whether it be life insurance, a home, you know, cash, stocks, bonds, it would go, if it goes through the probate court, it would go to the minors once they reach the age of 18 in California, the age of majority, and they would just get it outright. And one of the great things that you can do with a living trust is what the wealthiest families have actually been doing for generations, which is you can set up your trust in such a way that you can leave your inheritance to your children and to your grandchildren with asset protection. So you could pass on your estate to them in a way where it's protected from creditors or from divorcing spouses or from other threats. And so that's another thing that you can do with the trust.
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, leaving large amounts of money to inexperienced or immature children or heirs is also kind of devastating. So you can, with your living trust, can you not also kind of dole out the money so they get, you know, X amount when they're 18 to maybe help them through college, and X amount when they're 25 and X amount when they're 35? Is that possible?
Absolutely, yeah, and those are really two of the big options. The first one is exactly what you said, where you structure you structure it to be paid out. So principal would be paid out in installments or at intervals. So it could be an age interval. You know, a common scenario would be people will set it up so that at 25, the children would get their first chunk of principal, and then at 30, they would get the next chunk, and then by 35, they would get all of it. That's in contrast to what I was just talking about, which is where it actually stays in the trust, and then the trustee manages it for the loved ones and actually would make distributions to them, and that's when you get the asset protection. But you're right, you don't, you know, some people think, well, gosh, I really just don't have that much, but I need to avoid probate and I need some tax planning. So a living trust is really for, you know, every range of the financial spectrum, people who have millions and then people who, you know, maybe they're just a young family just starting out in life and they have a home and they have children and they want to make sure that they get their legal affairs in order to minimize those fees and costs and make sure that their children are taken care of if they're not here.
Absolutely. Okay, and Christina, if you'll stay with me, speaking of money, we got to take a break to pay our bills from this from Chase commercial. So we'll be right back talking to Christina Hess. And is it Hames or Hames?
It's Hames. It's Hames. Yeah.
Hames. Okay, Hames. Hames. All right. So Hames, Christina Hess Hames, trust and estate planning attorney, right after this quick break.
Okay.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, we are back. We're talking to Christina Hess Hames. And you can find out more how you can protect your estate from HamesLawGroup.com. And so, Christina, let me ask you this. With your experience, what do you see as some of the biggest mistakes that families make all the time when it comes to their estate?
Well, obviously, or I shouldn't say obviously, but the biggest mistake is just failing to plan. I mean, I it seems obvious, but I have to mention it just because, you know, we like to say that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And, you know, this is one of those subjects that people don't like to talk about. You know, we all think that, oh, it will never happen to me, or I've got time, or, you know, I mean, it's just one of those difficult things for people to address for various reasons. So the number one thing would just be to get off your horse, you know, take that step. It's well worth it on a lot of different levels. It's just, it's really important because no one's promised tomorrow. And, you know, it's like one click, one text, one thing, and then, you know, you're a story in the news. And so the first mistake to avoid is just to make sure that you've got a plan and that you're taking care of yourself and your children or grandchildren if you've got them. So that would be number one. The second kind of big mistake would be is some of the things that we talked about, which is just, you know, there's ways that you can structure this to make sure that, number one, that you're taken care of, and that, number two, that you avoid all taxes and fees and things like that. Sometimes people think, well, I can just go online and, you know, put something together myself. And then when I review those plans, I see that there's holes and that there's perhaps tax savings and other savings that's missed. And so, you know, I think if you've got a home and you've got a degree of assets, then it's really worth it to speak with a professional.
Absolutely. So you know what? It boggles my mind how some people will go to an online legal store, for lack of better terms,
right,
and really tried, you know, try to save whatever, a few thousand bucks, and really what they end up doing is costing themselves tens of thousands of dollars in taxation and protection, because they, you know, they saved a couple hundred, or I mean, they saved a couple thousand dollars, which really is going to come back and bite them.
Exactly. I've seen it so often. People will come in and say, "Oh, can you review this?" And I just don't review those types of things anymore. But when they initially come in, and if there's no tax planning, and in one situation I reviewed one of those trusts, and there was no tax planning at all, and it would have cost their heirs, had they died in $1 million a year, $250,000. And so my question is, don't you think that your children or grandchildren have a better use of that money, or could put that money to better use than having it go to the government?
Absolutely. Not to mention there's the stress. The stress of having to deal with that, because, again, not only I want to say the average person is not set up to make these decisions. They have no knowledge of taxation. They have no knowledge at all as to what their rights are. It would be nice to have this all laid out, and possibly even bring the heirs in to talk with you or whoever their estate planning professional is, so they know exactly what's going on. They have a nice overview of what all this stuff means.
Yes, for sure. And then the third problem or mistake that I see, and this is actually something that I experienced personally, my dad passed away suddenly, and he had set up a trust, 10 years before he died and before I had even gone to law school. And, you know, it sat on the shelf for 10 years. He didn't ever hear from his attorney again. He didn't really look at it again. And so then I think he attempted to amend it himself right before he died. But, you know, estate plans need a regular checkup. So I provide all my clients with a free review every 3 years. And it goes to the point that you were just talking about, which is the laws change. You know, we're in a situation right now where we have absolutely no certainty with what's going to happen with our estate tax. It's set to go down to a credit of $1 million on January 1st of 2013. But we had a 10-year law, and right now we've got really just a law that expires at the end of this year. So we've got no certainty. It's an election year. No one really has any idea what's going to happen there. So
right.
The laws change. Your assets change. Your life changes. You know, who you may want to raise your children when they're young could be one thing, and then once they're, you know, older, that could be an entirely different person, or your financial decision makers may change. And so it's just a really good idea to make sure that your plan is up to date. So in my dad's situation, there were assets that weren't owned properly. So the first step is setting up your plan, but then you have to kind of keep it up to date and make sure that the assets are owned properly, so that you're, you know, just to make it easy for your loved ones when you're no longer here. Because so much of this is really, you know, one of the reasons people do this or should do this is to make it easy for those they love when they're no longer here. Because it's so much easier to take those steps now while you're alive and well than it is for people to try to clean up a mess after the fact.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this, because, again, I'm always amazed as a society how we do deal with death and how we put things off. So let me ask you this. If you die and you have no will, you have no documentation, what happens to your estate? And we only have about a minute, sorry, but go ahead and give us a quick overview.
So what happens is you'd have to go through, and it varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Each state will have a different process. But here in California, the estate would have to go through the probate court. And so we talked about that a little bit at the front, and I mentioned the three evils of probate. So that's definitely something that you want to avoid. It's time-consuming, it's expensive, and it's a public process.
Yeah, and let me tell you, you mentioned your personal story with your dad. I went through a similar thing with my mom. She had no documentation when she passed away. It's something that lasted, I want to say, something like 3 years as it went through the probate situation. We paid out a lot of money in fees, and she had a very small estate, but still, 3 years later, before it finally got settled, And so do yourself a favor, get with a professional or get a hold of the HamesLawGroup.com. That's H-A-Y-M-E-S, LawGroup.com. Christina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
All righty, guys. Coming up, we are going to be talking with Greg Link. And Greg Link has just a really neat story, has a lot to talk to us about trust. We got to take a really short break, and then we're going to be talking to the one and only Greg Link.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys, we're back. We're talking to Greg Link. He's got a really neat book out. It's number one Amazon bestseller called Smart Trust, Creating Prosperity, Energy, and Joy in a Low-Trust World. Greg Link has worked with Stephen R. Covey. He helped orchestrate the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People that completely launched not only Covey's career, but also launched an entire industry based around that book. I'm excited to have him on the show. Everybody, welcome Greg Link to the show.
Thank you, Bert. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
All right. So tell me a little bit about Smart Trust. How did you come up with this? It's called Smart Trust, Creating Prosperity, Energy, and Joy in a Low Trust World. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Bert, I co-authored this book with Stephen M. R. Covey, who's Stephen's oldest son. We're business partners. We were in Tianjin, China, in the middle of a financial crisis. It was just a couple years after he wrote our first book, which has sold over 1 million copies and is the best-selling book ever written on trust. But we're in Tianjin, China, at the World Economic Forum. And this is, for those of you that aren't familiar with the World Economic Forum, it's 90 countries, 2,000 delegates, mostly CEOs and senior government officials. And this was the very weekend that the financial crisis of the Congress of the U.S. was meeting to decide what to do about the financial crisis in September of 2008. And at the end of the conference, they identified the most important restraining force to the world economy for the coming year, at that point, 2009. And everybody thought it was a no-brainer. We thought, well, gosh, it's going to be the financial crisis. And the number one thing they identified was a crisis of trust and confidence. And right then, we had already known that, you know, trust affected financial affairs. But, boy, right then it hit us hard that this is bigger than we thought it was. And so we immediately started working on the Smart Trust book. Because at the time, you know, the economy is based on trust. I mean, it used to be that the currency of the economy was money. The currency of the economy in this global environment is trust, because the banks guaranteed liquidity. They made funds available. But the banks still didn't trust each other. They wouldn't transfer funds. So it really ground the economy to a halt. That continues to be the number one problem we have today in the economy, is lack of trust in government. And because of the uncertainty, companies won't hire. So we really have a crisis of trust.
Excellent. You know what? And you're right. I love the fact that when you look at all the, all the different indices of the economy, the different markets and what's happening, it really all boils down to trust. And, you know, the reason that you do business with somebody or don't do business with somebody is trust. The reason that you decide not to go out with somebody on a date, trust. So trust is ultimately the world's universal currency. And, you know, I just love the name of the title of the book. It just, you know, I just love it. It's very concise. It just sums it up. Smart Trust. I love it.
Well, it's the one thing that changes everything. You know, as many of your listeners know, Stephen R. Covey, author of The 7 Habits, passed away last month. And as he liked to say, nobody on their deathbed ever worried about money. You know, the truth of the matter is it's about relationships. Relationships are the color of our life, in our personal lives and in our business lives. And everything we do in business relates to trust. High trust companies, I don't know if you know, Bert, high trust companies outperform low trust companies. They're three times more profitable. A 10% increase in trust in a team or in a business increases the perception or the work satisfaction of the workforce by 36%. It's the equivalent to a raise of 36% in their pay, just a 10% increase. So it just has a tremendous effect. I mean, I wish I could figure out a way that your previous guest, I wish I could figure out to say that your estate will be significantly larger economically if you learn how to master smart trust in a low trust world, because I know it'll have that financial impact. But more importantly, at the end of the day, all we care about is our relationships. And boy, if we
I mean, I like the quote that you mentioned there about from Stephen Covey saying, "Hey, nobody on their deathbed was really worried about anything but the relationships." You know, and I had the pleasure of working with Stephen Covey and I believe his other son, Sean. And,
sure.
And you know, and so a very delightful person, just genuinely put you at ease, and definitely a guy who really, you know, walk the talk. But let me ask you this. You mentioned some of these companies that are high trust. Tell us about some of the brands and companies that are doing this trust thing right now that you consider a high trust company.
All right, very, very good. One that everybody's probably familiar with because it's a recent startup is Zappos. It's an online shoe company started by Tony Hsieh. He went from a startup to $1 billion and sold the company to Amazon in the worst economic decade in American history, this last 10 years. And I had an opportunity to talk to Tony as we worked on the Smart Trust book, and I asked him, "So how'd you do it?" He says, "Two things. I trusted my employees and I trusted my customers." I mean, they let customers. I mean, it's kind of an odd business model to begin with, thinking about selling shoes to women online and then going so far as to trust them to ship the shoes back and forth if they don't like them for free. And you think of that was a recipe for disaster and bankruptcy, but it because the Zappos did such a good job of trusting their customers and their employees, they were very profitable and like I say, grew to a $1 billion company in the worst economic times of around. Tony's written a book called Delivering Happiness. That gets back to the energy and joy that we talked about in the subtitle of the Smart Trust book, because at the end of the day, not only is it more economically, you're going to make more money, you're going to get more – high trust people are more likely to be hired, they're more likely to be promoted, they get the best projects, they get the biggest budgets, they make more money. You're also going to have a lot more fun. And again, getting back to that joy in the relationships, because at the end of the day, money is really important, and it is something that we all want to strive to do. Is you know, we say no margin, no mission. You got to have the economic engine in your life and in your company. But at the end of the day, moment to moment, you know, if you're energized and happy and having a good time in your relationships, you're going to make more money just by that virtue, because people will
Absolutely.
Be attracted.
Hey, Greg, hold on 1 second. Our sponsors trust us to play these commercials, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Greg Link about Smart Trust, his latest number one bestseller, right after this quick break.
Your car was in an accident. The good news, you're not hurt. The bad news, the insurance company is not treating fairly. Who do you call? Call LibertyPropertyDamage.com. With over 6 million auto accidents per year, insurance companies cut corners wherever possible. LibertyPropertyDamage.com won't let them. If you are being treated unfairly by any insurance company, call LibertyPropertyDamage.com right now. We'll get you everything you deserve. Total loss, diminished value, rental reimbursement. Call LibertyPropertyDamage.com at 832-303-2378.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
We are back. We're talking with Greg Link about his latest best-selling book, Smart Trust, Creating Prosperity, Energy, and Joy in a Low-Trust World. And it's co-authored by his friend Stephen M.R. Covey, the oldest son of Stephen Covey, who recently passed away. And let me ask you this, okay, what specific mental shift would you like our readers to take away from this book, and where can our listeners get a copy of your great book?
Very good. Yeah, the mental shift, the opportunities available to your listeners right now is honestly, this is the best kept secret of all time. We're talking about smart trust, not stupid trust, by the way. We're not talking about just trusting people willy-nilly. That's why we call it smart trust. And the skill of smart trust will change the trajectory of your company, your life, your career, in more ways than people understand. So it is that shift that you can, in fact, learn trust as a skill. You can get good at it. You can teach it to other people. That's something people just do not realize, and it is a career changer. As far as being able to get it, it's in all the airport bookstores, all the best bookstores around the country. You can get it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. So it's easy to find.
Excellent, excellent. You know what, and I like that. You know, you're right. You have to be smart about trusting people. And, you know, something that, I appreciated from Stephen Covey was his, what was it? It was part of the Seven Habits, I think, which is, first, try to understand, try to be understood.
Seek first to understand, then to be understood. It's Habit 5. Listen.
That's right.
Listen to people.
That's right, and what a better, to me, that's a great way to build trust. If you're really actively listening to the other person and you're trying to understand them, and so that is going to build trust with that person and vice versa as they start to listen with you. And I think that is something that a lot of us just don't take the time to do, and we're so busy, as business owners, we're so busy with the bottom line that we fail to see the real currency is trust.
Well, in high-trust companies, Bert, attract talent. I mean, you want to get your company started and get it going. You need high-trust people. You need people to perform. And when you have a high-performance team, it attracts other high-performers so you can grow your business twice as fast.
Now, let me ask you this, I'm going to have to bring you back because one of the things that we were going to do is that you guys were nice enough to send us some books, and we're out of time, but we want to give away some of your books, and we're going to be doing that this week to our listeners. They're going to have a chance to get a copy of your book. But let me ask you this. If you're a startup company, how would you create high trust on a startup company?
The first thing I would do is start with yourself. The CEO has got to get crystal clear what his or her credibility is, what they are good at, and then create a complementary team and find high-trust people that are good at what they're not good at. Stephen M.R. and I are a very complementary team. We complement each other. And as a result, we've been able to be in business together for over 25 years and have a great time doing it and very successful. So that's the first thing, is to really get crystal clear what you're good at, what you can be trusted for, what's your credibility, because you don't want to fake it. You don't want to pretend like just because you're the CEO of a small business that you can do all the different roles that are involved in growing a company. And so you need to figure out what you're good at and then hire or get a partner, get somebody that can complement your skill set that you can trust to do the stuff you're not good at.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Hey, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to bring you back, or if not you, then maybe a partner can come in and we're going to give away some of the books live. And again, I appreciate the copies. I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you later.
My pleasure, Bert. Thank you. Have a great day.
All righty. Hey, guys, we are rocking and rolling. Rolling. Hey, great stuff by Greg Link, and you can check out Greg Link also if you want to check out his book at CoveyLink.com. That's CoveyLink.com. You can find their book, Smart Trust, Creating Prosperity, Energy, and Joy in a Low Trust World, where all good books are sold. As he mentioned, you can find them at the airports. You can find them at Walmart, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Hey, coming up next, we're going to be talking about you and your money. We're going to be talking about your finances. And on the show is John Ledford. John is the president of Ledford Financial. And you can find out more about John at Ledford, L-E-D-F-O-R-D, financial.com. And John is the president of, as I mentioned, John Ledford Financial, an investment advisory located in one of my favorite cities, Orlando, Florida, and is recognized as one of the leading investment firms in the country. John is a regular contributor to both local and national media, and he has been named the Socially Responsible Advisor of the Year, as well as a top 10 finalist for Registered Reps of the Year. And he is a co-author of two best-selling books entitled Win and The Only Business Book You'll Ever Need. So I'm glad to have him on the show. John, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm absolutely thrilled to be spending this time with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me ask you, you know, with everything that's going on, what are your thoughts about the presidential election and the ultimate effect on our markets and economy?
Well, I think we've got to look at that two ways. And one of my competitors actually beat me to the punch and put out a newsletter yesterday that talks about this topic. I won't name his name, but if you want to know more, certainly you can contact us. But it talked about, you know, what should we expect? And the reality is when we have an incumbent Democratic president coming in, we typically have about a 14% rate of return versus, you know, gauged by the S&P in the following year. We have a Republican, new Republican coming in, we usually have about a 10% S&P return in that following year. So I think the reality is that the markets want certainty more than anything else. And so in the short term, regardless of Romney, Obama, whatever the case may be, I think the markets are going to respond positively because there'll be an air of certainty. So I think in the micro, the near term, I think it's almost irrelevant in that the markets are going to respond positively. However, I would say the second part of that, which is what can we expect longer term, mid to long range, I think we've got two presidents who are dramatically different in their approach to government. Their policies are completely different. I've read both budgets, at least the Ryan budget and the Obama budget. They're both radically different. And you've got one government that believes in big government spending, and government being the engine for social change. And you've got the other camp that believes in smaller government, restricted spending, and entrepreneurs being the instrument for societal change. And I think really the market is going to respond favorably to the latter, and it's not going to respond favorably to the former.
Gotcha. No, I agree. And let me ask you this, since we're getting into politics a little bit, what do you think about the oil and gas prices? Do you think their direction is going to go up or it's going to continue down? What's your thought as far as the impact on the economy?
Well, I think oil and other commodities are likely to become more expensive in the years ahead. We are hopefully going to have domestic and global expansion in terms of more building, more infrastructure, all those things that are drivers of commodity prices. And I believe oil and gas are very, very likely going to get significantly higher, number one, because of that demand, but number two also because they are artificially cheap on an inflation-adjusted basis. Now, the funny thing, though, is if you think about this, the funny thing is that the oil companies are booking these record profits we've heard about in the news the last few years. The reality is they're doing that because they've utilized technology effectively so that they can reduce their costs in pulling that stuff out of the ground and distributing. They're doing exactly what entrepreneurs should be doing, which is learning how to be more efficient. And I'm not one who thinks we should penalize them for that. I think we should applaud them and learn from them. But I do believe gas prices are going to go higher, and that's going to be somewhat of a drag on our economy.
Absolutely. Okay, so John Ledford, stay on the phone with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back talking about you and your money and the economy with financial advisor John Ledford right after this very short break.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to John Ledford, financial expert advisor. And, John, I have a question for you, and I want you to check this out. We had Donald Trump on the show a while back, and this is what he had to say about the real estate economy, and I want to get your feedback on it, see what you think.
Sure.
Well, the good news is there's no money around, so you're not going to have a lot of overbuilding like you do in the housing industry. You know, they overbuilt 2 years ago, and now they're sort of getting rid. And you can make lots of good deals. If you have money today, you can make lots of good deals. The fact is, this is a great time to go buy a house, maybe even wait 3 or 4 more months. But you can make...
Okay, your thoughts on real estate. Is now still a good time to buy or get involved in real estate?
Well, I believe that it is, and I certainly would not challenge anything that Mr. Trump says with regard to real estate. His track record is a little stronger, more well-known. But yeah, actually, on a personal basis, both corporately and personally, we've actually been loading up on real estate. There are great buys out there. You know, the value that you can purchase these days commercially as well as residentially are very, very high. The value of financing is Yeah, we've added significantly to, again, to our corporate and personal, balance sheet in the last pretty dramatically. And I think in most markets, there's been a bottoming out. And so there's a bottoming out and somewhat of a rebound coming. There's still great deals to be found. I think the only concern with regard to real estate is that my understanding of friends that I talk to who are involved in the bankruptcy world and all that kind of stuff, there is still a large backlog of unforeclosed but to be foreclosed properties. And some of this has to do with the robo-signing and all that stuff that's happened around the country, but there are still a lot of banks that are holding on to a lot of bad paper that they're going to have to clean out when they figure out how to do it, probably from what I understand within the next 6 to 9 months. So I think now's a great time to buy. I think if you're a little bit patient, and maybe in that 4 to 9 month time frame, you might be able to find an even better deal. But those deals are becoming so much more competitive, they're more difficult to get as well.
Absolutely. I think you're right. They are becoming more competitive in the sense that, in today's show, we've talked a lot about trust, and I think that uncertainty. And so I think that people are trusting the real estate market a little bit more. They're certain that it's bottomed out and it's on the way. You know, I think the investors out there are feeling a little bit more certain about the real estate, and so they're starting to buy more. And so now you're getting, several, bids on one property, as to where maybe 6 months ago you had, very literally no competition. Now you have many people bidding on one piece.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm actually talking to you at the moment from a little community called Baldwin Park, which is just northeast of downtown Orlando. And it was featured in the local newspaper last weekend because they're finding now that they're getting within the first week typically 20 showings and 3 or 4 offers every property that comes on the market here. And so you've got pockets where the real estate market's very, very hot, and you're right. People are much more confident than they were 2 years ago.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, as a financial advisor, what's been the best piece of financial advice that you've ever received?
Well, I tell you, the best advice I've ever received is to first and foremost invest in yourself. I'm a huge believer that the number one asset that all of us have is ourselves. It's
right.
Our ability to think creatively. It's the ability to work hard. It's the ability to overcome obstacles. It's the ability to produce. And I believe as Americans and as people, that is incumbent in all of us. And resident in all of us. And so the best advice I've ever been given is to invest in yourself. And I know your last guest on has recently written a book, and he co-authored with Mr. Covey's grandson. And I tell you, I'm a huge longtime fan of that family and the work that they did. But I met guys when I was very, very young, when I was a young college student, when I was cold calling people on the phone at night trying to sell municipal bonds that nobody wanted. And the number one thing that those guys pounded into me over and over and over is to invest in yourself, invest heavily, and never stop investing, because you are the one ultimately who's going to determine your long-term success and nothing else.
I love it. You know what? And you're right. I think that's the ultimate strategy is to do what do you call it, continuous and never-ending investment or improvement upon oneself. Ultimately, our goal is to have mastery over ourselves. I think Buddha said something like that. Something that Tony Robbins gets paid millions of dollars to remind you is mastery
right.
over ourselves is the ultimate investment payoff. And it's something that I think a lot of people just simply forget.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And I would tell you, I have the opportunity to advise several hundred families that have varying degrees of wealth, but overall significant wealth, and the determinant between those who accomplish wealth, achieve and retain that wealth, and those who don't is resonant in that phrase, self-mastery. Because I had lunch yesterday with a guy who made $1 million last year. He's 30 years old. He made $1 million last year. And he finds himself today $200,000 in debt, having spent all of that money from last year and then even going in the hole a little bit more because he can't control his appetites and he can't make great decisions because he doesn't master himself. Those things that distract him master him.
Absolutely. Hey, John Ledford, thank you so much for being on the show. If you guys need some help with your investment portfolio or financial advice, check them out at ledfordfinancial.com. John, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Have a terrific day. I appreciate it.
All righty. Hey, guys, coming up for dessert, we have Chris Gray, and we're going to be talking about fitness. And I'm a big believer that if you're really going after your goals, if you really want to achieve greatness in your own life, you have to be fit and ready to go for it. You need that energy that only fitness can provide. And Christopher Gray has this great name for a gym that I want to talk to him about called Punch Gym Fitness. Sounds aggressive, doesn't it? I mean, it's just like punch you in the face. Punch Gym Fitness. He's also is co-authored a book. And so I'm excited to have him on the show. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. You're coming in.
All right. Thanks so much for having me today.
All right, so first of all, let's dive right into it. PunchGymFitness.com. Tell us about it. Is it a Taekwondo gym? How did you come up with Punch Gym?
Yeah, actually, Punch Gym is actually a franchise name. So it's a name that we fell upon when we established some great relationships with some fantastic fitness professionals across the country. And the founder of Punch Kettlebell Gym is actually world-renowned trainer Anthony DeLulio from Rhode Island. So I got to give the credit to him for such a fantastic name. And it's a funny story. Actually, the name came from his dog. His dog's name was Punch. And the fitness program was based on kettlebells. And he just said, man, I love my dog and I love the kettlebells. So Punch Kettlebell Gym it is. So that's how it all came about.
It's good. You know, you're training like a dog, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in the fitness world? What motivated you to help others in their fitness journey?
Absolutely, great question. Listen, you know, my career started in around the early 90s when I was a freshman in high school. I was a skinny kid. I wanted to be popular, of course. I wanted to be a jock. I wanted to play football. But unfortunately, I wasn't quite big enough to do so. But I had a great opportunity come up, and in the school that I was in, there was actually a class, if you can believe this or not, an elective class called weight training. So I couldn't believe you could go to school and actually take a class to lift weights and exercise. So,
a great elective. I love that.
It was. You know what? Now you look back now in terms of where we are with our obesity rates, et cetera, all the schools should have that elective class, right?
And so, it shouldn't even be an elective.
Yeah, it should be mandatory, absolutely. So,
right.
So I had this fantastic opportunity, and it really changed my life, because the day that I walked into that weight room, and prior to that I've never been in a weight room really. Again, I was just a kind of a scrawny kid, but I walked in that weight room, and that was the beginning of my career as we know it today. I just loved everything about it, and there was lots of guys in there, so lots of testosterone. So it was just the smells and the sounds and just the challenge of walking through those doors. So from that point forward, I just had a desire to want to pursue fitness and health and just get bigger, faster, stronger myself. So, you know, I fast forward here for you 4 years later, and now I'm leaving high school and I'm moving into the world of semi-pro football, where I spent 4 years in the semi-pro football leagues. You know, and throughout that time, of course, you know, my life was in the gym, obviously just trying to maintain that level of performance. And not a day went by where people weren't asking me all the time, man, how are you doing this? What do I need to eat? Or how should I lift this, et cetera? So it just kind of was like a light bulb one day, and I don't even remember exactly what happened or what I was doing at the time, but a light bulb came on, and it was like, man, I really enjoyed helping these other people do what I did and follow my lead. So, and the rest is history, because 2 weeks later, I was a personal trainer for the company that I was actually working out at their gym. 2 weeks later, I was employed by them, and that was it. From that point forward, I've been a personal trainer ever since.
Wow, cool. All right, so listen, we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking more fitness with Chris Gray from Punch Gym Fitness right after this very short break.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, we're back. We're talking fitness with Chris Gray. And you can check it out at punchgymfitness.com or punchgym.com. Hey, okay, so what's the difference about you as compared to many of the other programs out there?
Yeah, great question, because, you know, obviously the market is just chock full of what we would say experts or fitness enthusiasts out there selling the latest, greatest programs. So, you know, I think it's real important that we identify here for me. The difference is this. You know, as my career developed, I noticed a big breakdown in what was being delivered to clients. You know, man, we were taking people's money, and but you know what? Frankly, they weren't getting results. They were paying for their training a lot of money, and they were doing a lot of hard work, and they were not getting the results, in fact, that they were expecting to get. So what I found over time is it came down to, one, they didn't have the knowledge to put a complete program together. Folks needed to be educated. You know, they really, really had information overload, because everything you read says something different. Every video, every expert says something completely different. So they really needed education to understand and weed through all that. They needed a structured program to follow that included all of the key components necessary for success. So long story short of it is there was a lot of missing pieces in people's programming. Therefore, they were not getting the success that they really were expecting. And then lastly, the big thing is support. You need support to really be successful in fitness. You need to be held accountable, but you also need to be supported. And those were the three breakdowns that I found over time were causing just – mass amounts of failure in the fitness industry. So in my place, once I've opened up my program, we establish a treatment plan for folks. So it's unlike a regular gym where you just go, you work out, and then you leave, you do some cardio, some strength training, and you leave. We have a treatment plan that people have to follow. It's a schedule. It's a structured system. Okay, they come in, they get educated, they get their strength training, they get their cardio training, they get their nutrition training, they get supplementation training, they get expert guidance throughout this entire process, and they are held significantly accountable. And when we put those components all together, we overcome all of those three major problems that I talked about first, and our success rates have been through the roof since we've done that, and we have been able to provide life-changing results for all of our clients here.
Gotcha. No, I love it. Now, let me ask you this. Earlier you mentioned the founder of Punch Gym and the fact that he liked kettlebells, and I know that you specialize in kettlebells. And what's your take? Why has kettlebells literally exploded on the fitness scene, and how does kettlebell training differ from other methods of training?
Yeah, this is a big question that everybody asks because there's a lot of hype going on right now, right, about kettlebells. So what's going on with these things? And here's the thing that people need to know, first of all, that it's a kettlebell. And what it is, kettlebell is basically it's an iron ball with a handle on it. And that's it. It's a very simplistic tool. It's just an iron ball with a handle on it. But here's the thing. When you hold a kettlebell, you actually hold it, and you're holding the handle, the weight sits on the outside of your arm, okay? So it sits off center, okay? As human beings, we typically hold things balanced and centered in our hands when we hold it. That's where it's natural. That's where it feels comfortable. So we actually force an inefficiency by holding it unbalanced. So what happens is for every single movement you do, you're constantly working against gravity for every single movement. And this causes the entire body to activate muscle-wise, okay, versus just isolating a muscle. Like think of a bicep curl, okay? You're activating one muscle, that bicep, and that's all you're working right then and there at that time. But when you're using those kettlebells, the entire body has got to work at the same time to be able to accomplish those movements. So as a result, you have an increased strength, flexibility, endurance, and fat burn like never before, okay? And you just really, here's the cool thing. Everybody's time-starved right now. I know even myself. But when you're working with kettlebells, because you have such a large amount of muscles being activated at the same time, you cut your workout time in half. Okay?
Wow.
Cut your workout in half. Okay.
So like a 30-minute workout, you're saying you can get it done in 15 minutes with kettlebells.
Well, you know, in my world, a typical workout would be about an hour long, 45 minutes to an hour long. So what I'm telling you is in a 20-minute period of time, you can have an unbelievable workout that's going to get you the same amount of results that if you were to just spend 45 minutes to an hour in a gym. Easy.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay. Easy, yeah. So it makes life a lot easier for us busy folks trying to get a workout in, you know.
No, I love it. And well, you know, the other thing that I really appreciate about this technology is that it's really been around, I don't know, several hundred years. We're talking about, as you said, it's a metal ball with a handle on it. And it's been around forever.
It has. It has.
And, you know, and so I get a kick out of that. So, you know, with all the high-tech stuff that we have, the most exciting thing to hit the fitness scene in the last couple of years is this very old, old technology.
It is. It's funny how things come full circle like that.
Hey, Christopher Gray, thank you so much for being on the show today. And you can check him out at punchgym.com, and you can check out more about Chris. Chris, I know you have a book out, right? Tell us a little bit about tell us where we can find your book and the name of your book. We got about 30 seconds left.
Absolutely. You can get the book on Amazon.com, and the book is 3 Steps to Your Best Body in Record Time. Hit the bestseller list in 5 spots, and it should be easy to find. And you can get my website is Punch Kettlebell Gym Dover.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Chris, for being on the show today, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Guys, that is Money for Lunch today. I think that we've been just had a satisfying, luscious meal today. Man, we've talked about everything that could be important to changing you and your life, making things better. And we appreciate you being here on the show. We appreciate your time. And we will wrap up this issue of Money for Lunch. Today is Wednesday, August 15th.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.